This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9. Bent Notes is our weekly jazz program going to air each Sunday night.
My guest on Bent Notes is an Australian guitarist and composer who moved to Paris in 2005, where he has continued to develop his music, inspired by modern jazz, rock musicians, and the music of Africa, Asia, Latin America and India. Now, Alex and his band have started their Australian tour already, releasing his fourth album entitled Aftermath, and will be performing at this year's Wangaratta Festival of Jazz and Blues. It's my pleasure to welcome to Bent Notes, Alex Stewart.
Hi, David. Pleasure to talk to you as well.
Thank you very much for taking the time out. I know you've got a busy schedule going at the moment, Alex. Now, after becoming a musician in Australia, I think it was in Canberra, you were drawn to relocate to Paris. What was the draw card to get across to Paris?
I actually used to live in Paris as a kid, so I spoke fluent French. I lived between 5 and 9 years old. And I went back there when I was 16 and went to a jam session at a place called the Le Baiser Salé. I didn't play, I was just listening. And I love the vibe because there's a lot of it was a real meld of jazz and world music stuff there, and it's like a bit of a haven for that in Paris. And I went back there when I was 19, and I travelled through there and went back to the Baiser Salé, went back to a few places, and realised it was kind of a place for me because the scene is very jazz oriented, but also very world music oriented, and also fell in love with Paris itself because it's just an amazing city, such a beautiful city.
Were you brought up when you were very young with music around you?
I think I was brought up with... my parents were musicians, but my dad had a vinyl collection which probably goes for like 5 kilometres or something. I think he was a big music lover. And so I always kind of listened to good music. When we go on road trips, we'd listen to a bit of jazz, some cool reggae stuff, a bit of Sting as well. There's always good music going around, some opera stuff as well. So I think I definitely grew up loving music. And I was always encouraged to do music as well.
And obviously not just one style of music, a broad exposure.
Yeah, for sure. I think that came from that same vinyl collection. I started off myself playing like grunge stuff, like just picking out like a lot of guitarists. I was 13 when I picked up the guitar, playing Nirvana, Pearl Jam, Offspring, those kind of bands. So that was my kind of thing. But then I had a huge vinyl collection at home where I was checking out like Santana, the Beatles, some jazz stuff. Lorindo Almeida was one thing I checked out as well. Stan Getz. It was very broad. Some Latin, some African stuff as well. And I think that stayed with me. Yeah, and I studied jazz afterwards and kept a lot of other influences on top of that.
When did you decide that, apart from enjoying all this music, that it was to be your career?
You mean melding all these influences together?
Yeah. Well, when did you take
music as a career?
Yeah, when did you, obviously with all this music around you, you're enjoying it, when did you decide that it wasn't just something you're going to enjoy, but it was actually going to be something that you lived your life with as a career, and then obviously the guitar that came into it as well. Were you young or were you a little older?
I think that probably happened when I was about 16, 17. I picked up the guitar at 13. It was always very evident. I played. I don't think I practiced that much, but I always kind of kept playing and enjoying it. And I had friends that I played music with. We jammed out on the weekends and did a few gigs, and then... I did a thing in Canberra called the Prep Course, which is like a preparatory course for the School of Music there, the jazz course. And I think from that point onwards, I think I knew myself that I wanted to, I'd taken a direction towards playing music full time, or at least trying to make a life of it. So that was when I was 16 or so.
What do you recall about having made that decision about your musical education after that?
I think it was always kind of really self-evident. I just loved playing music, and there was never like a real clear moment where I decided. It was just the clear decision or the clear direction for me. And I guess I went on to study at the School of Music. I took a year off at one point just to travel around the world a bit and take some time off, and then I came back to finish it off. And I think there was never a doubt in my mind that was what I wanted to do because I just loved it so much. And that's also a way of, for me, of expressing myself and expressing life, I guess. Music is just a way of being, and that was always sort of the case from fairly early.
I've read that you have an interest in the music of Africa, Asia, Latin America, and India. Was that coming out of your touring around the world for that year?
I think it comes from a lot of different things. I think I lived in France. I have a bit of Franco culture. My mum's Vietnamese as well, and I've travelled a fair bit as well. I think, that just opened doors. I think I always had really open doors, and also come back to the music I listened to when I was younger. I think that really opened avenues for me. So I've always just loved all different music in different forms, just good music, whatever it is. If I like it, I'll try and embrace it and check it out in some kind of way. So that way I'm influenced by a lot of different styles. And in Paris, I played with a fair few African musicians. So that's really kind of formed my education of that music and the way I can kind of integrate that into my own style. I went to India for a while, 2009, and studied music there as well. It was like a drop in the ocean of Indian music. It was only 3 months, but it was really interesting. And Paris is a great place to just pick up very eclectic styles of music.
Your latest album is called Aftermath. It's the album that you're touring at the moment. It's been written following the terrible attacks in Paris of November 2015. How did those attacks affect you personally, and what was it that triggered your response to start writing music?
The attacks affect me personally quite strongly, because it happened in an area which is kind of my area of Paris, the northeast, which is, I don't know, the fairly young and arty kind of part of town. And even one of the places where the attacks happened was a place I used to go regularly to have drinks. To Oshawa, it was two sides of one street. One place where I used to go eat regularly, called Le Comboge, and the other one was Le Carillon, where I used to go and have drinks. So it really kind of attacked, I guess, our way of life within Paris, and that was really very tough. And also there was a shooting at a concert venue called Le Bataclan, which I guess it felt like it was just attacking our way of life, how to say that. And I think it affected all of Paris that moment. There was a fear that came in, including myself, but there was a real defiance as well within Paris, and you could feel that the city was just aging to get back to its life, you know, the life of Paris, the culture, the going out, and what the essence of Paris is, basically. That first song I wrote on the album, called Aftermath, which is the title track, is sort of capturing the essence of that. It's melancholy and sadness, but also defiance and celebrating the beauty of life at the same time.
Was the subject matter a challenge when you went to present it to the other musicians in the band?
I don't think I even told them about it. I just presented them with the music and let it come out as it was. I think they discovered it bit by bit as I presented the song, but I never really told them that was what it was about. I think the emotion of it just came out organically. So it wasn't a challenge, because it was just it was quite evident in the way everyone performed it. I think they felt it in some kind of way.
And that's a good thing about music, that you can feel things and you can say so much through putting something together like that.
Yeah, for sure. That's what I love about music, is you can express the ineffable.
Yeah, indeed.
That's what I've always loved about it. I was pretty shy as a teenager, and that's why I kind of embraced music in the first place, because I could kind of express myself in a really powerful way without having to use words.
Your music allows you to go and say a whole lot without actually, in a sense, stepping outside your little safety blanket zone.
Yeah, that's right. Well, you step outside of it, but in a different way.
Yeah.
Because when you're playing music, you're exposing yourself and you're giving a lot of yourself, but you're not doing that with words, basically. You're doing it in another kind of way. But it's just as powerful.
Were there other, or are there other songs on the album that have been inspired? It's a terrible word to use, but inspired by those dark happenings in November 2015?
There's a couple of other tunes which are kind of inspired by what I perceive to be the state of the world at that moment, and maybe still this moment with the rise in nationalist governments all around the world and financial crisis as well, just sort of maybe the descendants, I don't know if that's the word,
yeah,
of the 2008 crisis. And I think that's perhaps one of the root causes for the rise in nationalism in Western societies anyway.
Yeah.
And also, so there's a couple of songs which express that ugliness of the world, which I perceive at the moment, also the beauty as well, because the world is an amazing place, and the world can be such a beautiful place as well. There's so much beauty around us, so that's sort of the overwhelming force, I think.
It is certainly. We're going to play a piece from the... We played a piece, Aftermath, in fact, to start the program tonight. We're going to play Perfume River a little while here on Joy. Is Perfume River one of those more positive pieces?
Yeah, definitely. That's actually inspired by a place I was travelling through. I was travelling through Vietnam. My mother's, as I said, is Vietnamese. And I was travelling through there, and I was in Hue, and just sipping on a beer in front of the Peking River, and like a African kind of groove came to my mind, or Afro-Caribbean kind of groove came to my mind. But that was it. That was inspiration. And that moment, it was like a bit of a poetic moment. And then the melody is like what's recollections of the Dan Bao, which is a Vietnamese instrument that was influenced on the melody itself.
Well, we'll be able to hear that in just a moment's time. But you are out here, of course, to perform and release the album here in Australia, and you are performing at the Wangaratta Festival of Jazz and Blues next weekend. In fact, you're performing twice, once on Friday night from 7:30 to 8:30, and then again on Saturday from midday. More details and tickets are available from wangarattajazz.com. And I love your website, Alex, alex-stewart.com, so alex-stewart.com for more information and some great information there about yourself. The Performing Arts Show Centre is a great little centre up in Wangaratta. What can we expect to see from yourself and the band next weekend?
You'll see the band from France, which is wonderful. The last two tours I did was with Australian musicians, which is wonderful as well, because I was playing with some amazing guys like June Wilson, Jonathan Zwartz. There was Tim Firth as well, who was on there, and Miro Sabakovsky, obviously. He used to be my teacher and an amazing musician. But this time around, it's with the French guys, the guys from Paris, and it's really cool to have the guys from the album, because it's a real band sound. So you can expect a very fiery and positive vibes from us. We're all good friends as well, so there's a really, really good vibe on stage.
That's great to hear. Are both shows the same general content, or have you got different shows?
It'll be different. I mean, it'll be slightly different. I think some of the songs will be common, but we've got a fairly big repertoire, so I think we'll vary it up for the people who come to check out both shows for sure.
Fantastic.
And, I can't wait to play Wangaratta, because it's the festival I grew up checking out every year, every second year. It was an inspiration for a long, long time, so it's really wonderful to be playing there.
Fantastic. Well, I'm looking forward to meeting you on Friday night, Alex, because I'm your MC on Friday night.
That's right, yeah. I look forward to meeting there as well.
Thank you so much for participating in my research for that.
You're very welcome.
But most importantly, Alex, thank you so much for your time here on Bent Notes. Really do appreciate that. As I said, I am looking forward to meeting you on Friday night up in Wangaratta as part of the Wangaratta Festival of Jazz and Blues. Looking forward to hearing and seeing your band in action.
Likewise. Looking forward to meeting you.
Thanks very much, Alex.
Okay, thanks, David.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.